Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR and to this program. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Before the break, I had posed the question, who controls immigration into our country? Is that the sole prerogative of the executive branch, i.e. the president, or does Congress have something to do with it? I was unclear. And Ed and Walker went on that their internet, and it took them about 3 or 4 minutes, and they had a good handle on this thing, didn't you, Ed?
Well, I didn't even have time to go get a sandwich or anything.
No, so you dedicated.
We worked right through the break.
I went for coffee. Overtime. You guys stayed here and worked overtime.
This was a quick overview, so there may be specifics we're missing, but some of the websites we looked at, the president and Congress together determined the ceiling. We were talking about refugees, so we'll stick with that. Determine the number of refugees that are going to be allowed to come in each year. And then how do they decide who's going to be allowed in under a refugee status? Well, first of all, they look at the United Nations, which has a division, a department that is supposed to screen refugees and makes determinations whether someone's really a refugee. Are they, you know, trying to get away from a civil war or persecution, or they just want to come to the United States? So the United Nations, the Department of Homeland Security is supposed to do a vetting process, a screening process. There are priorities that are established. People fleeing, you know, in a particular year, fleeing from this country, that country. Cuba is one of those. They get a priority look in terms of, and then the Department of Homeland Security decides, then people have to apply. They apply for refugee status to the United States. Homeland Security screens them, and then they just take them, I guess, until the ceiling is hit. So that's a kind of a thumbnail sketch for resettlement.
Can you add anything to that, Walker?
Not much more than what Ed did.
Well, we put our heads together and looked.
Oh, that was
a
joint statement.
It was a joint statement.
But I will address a certain aspect of this, and that is some critics of Trump's proposed immigration ban on people with certain ideologies. Some say that you can't do that, that you cannot ban people because of their beliefs, because of their ideology when it comes to refugees and immigration. But what people don't understand is they can do that. The executive branch can establish standards by which they allow people into the U.S.
Whatever they want them to be.
Right. So if people,
these people aren't citizens. They don't have constitutional rights.
Some people don't know this, but right now we have a ban on communists. People who submit to the communist ideology are not allowed into the United States. Whether we follow that or not, I'm not sure.
So we disallow them coming in based on their ideology.
Right. If they're against American values and American beliefs, American principles, then they shouldn't come into our country. And
that's probably been in place since the Cold War.
Right.
Yeah.
So for those who have terrorist leanings, radical jihad ideology leanings, by Trump banning those individuals from coming into the country, that's perfectly legal under his administration.
And that's been part of the problem with refugees coming out of Syria into this country. The disagreement with the Obama administration has been, okay, well, how do you decide whether they're jihadists?
Right.
Well, the vetting process that Homeland Security goes through, and even the United Nations, has been simply to ask them,
yeah,
are you a jihadist? Do you want to do? And if they say yes, and they're a dumb jihadist,
right?
Well, then we don't let them in. But if they say no, if they hide their intentions, how do you know whether to let them in? And the Obama administration has not had a good answer.
But we do ask.
Last thing.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, we do ask.
Politely.
Yeah, politely, but we ask. Go ahead,
Some Walker. Try to use the Constitution card on this. But what people don't understand is people who are not U.S. citizens yet or who haven't been granted refugee or asylum, the Constitution does not apply to them. They are not a U.S.
Well,
citizen.
Well, they do have certain constitutional protections simply because the law grants that. But they
not
do
before
not have,
they're a citizen.
No, they do. They do have certain constitutional protections. In other words, if they come into this country, Congress has applied the and the courts have applied the constitutional protection. So in other words, you can't just – if a person is awaiting U.S. citizenship, you can't just – search them without you have to read them their Miranda rights and all those kinds of things. So they
but
do
as
have
far
certain...
as far as the First Amendment goes, and the religious test,
right?
And preventing people
on
the basis of religion,
right? They don't have full protections. They just have the kinds of protections
probably
that would allow
basic.
Them to keep them from being abused while they're awaiting.
It sounds like to me you're talking about people already in the process.
Yeah, well, if someone is here as a refugee, even here temporarily on a work visa, there are certain constitutional protections.
I think we're talking about prohibiting them from coming in the first place based on
while they're still in.
They can't say I have a constitutional right to come into your country
while they're in Syria.
Right. I'm in Syria. I have a constitutional right to come to your country.
Right.
And we can't stop them. Yeah. That's not happening. That's not. Legal.
And to Walker's point. There is no constitutional protection. We can say, Trump could say,
if he wanted, we don't want
Muslims coming in here. And you can't say, well, that's discrimination based on their religion and the First Amendment prohibits that.
You can
that.
Do that if you
well,
wanted to.
The
political and practical implications of that might be prohibitive.
Yes, right.
But you can, we did intern Japanese during World War II. You can do things like that aren't necessarily politically correct.
Well, and we have said for, like you said, since the Cold War, well, we're not taking any communists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an ideology that would be protected if you were a citizen.
All right. Steve Jordahl has been sitting over here patiently waiting for his chance to tell us what's going on in the world. Steve is with OneNewsNow.com and is on with us most days here during this time.
Good morning.
And American Family News.
Just join that conversation.
And I just want to say one thing about Steve.
One other thing
I discovered about Steve.
Oh.
Yes, I discovered about Steve yesterday. I'm at the church I attend. I'm playing a minor role in the Christmas pageant that we have.
That's right.
Steve is minor role.
Yeah, he's hosting it.
Well, just doing some MC thing. But the singers. Steve is a singer. He has a tremendous singing voice, Steve does.
You heard him?
I heard him sing. I was shocked.
What did you hear him sing?
Well, just he was singing through the songs. I don't want to give it away. It's kind of a surprise when he sings.
Okay.
He plays the part of a rock, and you just don't hear rock singing.
Rock star?
The rocks will cry out, though.
The rocks will cry People. Out.
Oh, a rock, so not a rock star.
He's an excellent singer, so
okay.
I just
Thank
found
you.
That out about him.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right, what do you got, Steve?
Well, top of the page at One News Now right now is the story of the battle that Connecticut has picked with us. I know you guys were talking about that last time, so if you guys want to know more or have something in writing, you can go to onenewsnow.com. Mr. Trump is expanding his list of the people he's considering for Secretary of State. The top four have been Romney, Giuliani, Senator Bob Corker, and David Petraeus. They're adding CEO of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, and an Admiral James Stavridis, who was actually at one point thought to be a possible Clinton vice presidential pick. So he's kind of going outside the bounds for that. I've also heard...
This is about the last biggie to be picked,
yeah,
right?
They're waiting for this one. This is the big one,
Ben
yeah.
Carson was named, what?
HHS.
Yeah. Second, yeah. That's cabinet
no,
position.
No, no, Department Health and Human, Health Urban and Development.
HUD. I'm sorry, HUD.
Price is HHS,
yes.
The congressman from Georgia.
So John Huntsman, Mr. Bolton, is also not the singer Bolton, the former UN ambassador Bolton. Joe Manchin, Dana Rohrabacher has also been considered or mentioned in the hunt. He's a very, very conservative California congressman.
I tell you what, as far as conservatives go, Donald Trump's got a pretty high batting average right now as far as his cabinet-level appointees.
So one of the stories I'm doing today is to look at how the Democrats are promising to give all of President Trump's cabinet picks the same treatment that the Republicans gave to President Obama's ambassador pick. They're gonna thwart and stall.
Democrats are gonna fight Trump on all these appointments. I just can't believe it. I don't think they have the the capital, the well, political capital, to be able to
they
do
don't
that.
Over the weekend, Nancy Pelosi said on one of the talk shows that
that name is not to be uttered here on this show, Steve. It's NP.
Okay, NP. Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Voldemort said on a talk show that people are not asking for a change of direction. So let her say that all she wants, I suppose. But
you mean the American people, on the election, are not, according to Nancy, you know who. Are not
the problem is the
election doesn't mean anything as far as people wanting a new direction in this country.
No, according to Nancy, you know who, what right. happened was that the Democrats just didn't get their message out. Oh, they were prevented from getting their message out by Fox News, etc.
Well, because the media is right wing and biased against the Democrats.
Man.
Is that
that's what they're
wow.
saying? Yeah, I know.
Oh man, that's a laugh out loud moment right there. Now,
let me give you just a couple.
The Democrats just didn't get their message out, so that's the reason that
the refs were against us. Right, that's why we lost. Dad.
Hillary just didn't have enough media on her side. Okay, I got it.
Couple other headlines. Al Sharpton is planning a march on the Capitol on January 14th, the Saturday of the inauguration. They're going to be protesting.
Really?
Yes.
Al Sharpton?
It's another
shock. I know. It's a shock, isn't it?
What's he protesting, Al Sharpton? The snow is white.
White lash.
Yeah. Snow is white, therefore it's protest
racist.
The environment.
He wants a discussion on voting rights, on income inequality, and on criminal justice reform. They arrested a guy in Philadelphia for some pro-Trump racist graffiti. This person scrawled in spray paint Trump rules and then some things that we can't say on the air. So they arrested this guy.
Yeah. Have you seen Inner Cities?
He was a 58...
Have you seen Inner Cities for the last 30, 40
Wait for
years?
It. The guy they arrested?
Yeah.
58-year-old black man.
He was representing he thought Trump supporters believe.
Pretty sure.
It was a hoax,
One of his victims was his former girlfriend, so he might have been a little angry
is a hoax. He wanted this
unless
appear
he's pro-Trump.
Yeah,
you got some black folks that are pro-Trump. So maybe he was pro-Trump.
There are new abortion numbers out over the weekend. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released the latest abortion surveillance report. Overall, abortions down about 5%. And this is the latest numbers from 2013. But here's the sad statistic. In New York City, the abortion rate is 60% of the birth rate.
Wow.
So for every 10 children that are born live, 6 are aborted.
Where
is that?
New York City.
Okay.
And then finally, if you are in the market for a home, Zillow has put a value on Santa's North Pole home. It is valued, according to Zillow, at $656,000, and you can rent it. It's not for sale, by the way. But I think the rent is $3,200 per month.
Ah, man, listen. The L's will drive you crazy. They're racket all year long.
Really?
You do not want to rent that house.
But okay. Isn't it the L's that always end up cleaning things when you don't know how it got cleaned and dishes?
Well, those are different L's.
Those are different L's.
Those are the L's that help the shoemaker make the shoes each night.
Oh, okay.
And then you have the elves that make the cookies.
Yeah.
But the elves in Santa's workshop, it's been known. See, I'm surprised you don't know this, Steve.
Well, no, you apparently vacation there. I don't.
they are a real pain.
Okay.
In terms of their
noise.
They're not unionized, but they're always singing songs. Listen, you won't get any sleep if you try to rent that.
Okay.
Listen, I've watched those Tim Allen movies, The Santa Claus. I know what goes on up there. Drinking cocoa to all hours of the night. It's folks, you do not want to rent that.
Right.
House.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry to get up on my soapbox, but
you
do not want to have an infestation of elves in your house.
Important to know.
They get caught on the sticky strips and all kinds of. You put sticky strips up for mice.
Is it a sticky strips? Is that how you do elf prevention?
Well, that's what I'm saying is if like we have we're out in the country, so We keep out some sticky strips if a mouse gets in. The elves get stuck on those things. Uh-huh. It's a real pain. I'm just telling you.
Wow, Ed's in his own fantasy
world.
Yeah,
Ed's in his alternative universe.
Edland.
He's really all right.
King of Edland.
Take some pictures and video of this process.
There are people out there listening, so no, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I put those things down before. I can't remember catching
one. It's like Bigfoot.
I can't remember catching a... You can catch a mice on the sticky strips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a mice trap, or a mouse trap, as it were, is better, because that's just instant. It's over. You know what I'm saying? And they never know.
Can you translate that, please?
The mice never know. They never know what hit them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I when I catch them on a sticky strip, I put them in a Walmart bag. And then
you
go
give
outside.
Them a proper burial.
I then use a cinder block. I won't tell you anymore.
Yeah, stop right. No, you don't need to. That's wow. I just know
they don't know what hits them either.
Okay.
What's the pet organization?
PETA.
PETA's coming after Ed.
People for the ethical treatment.
I'm just kidding.
I think
folks.
Some would argue
just
what
kidding.
Ed did is ethical.
Yeah, well, build That's a better mousetrap. The world will beat a path to your door. Be at Ed's house and they'll beat a path away. Yikes.
Okay, so.
Well, we went through all those stories.
Where do we
so
go
quickly,
from here?
So, yeah. You know.
Where do we go from here? You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman. Walker, what have you posted at our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I just quoted Ed and his.
Did you really?
Just kidding about the cinder block, folks.
I'm kidding, too. I did not post that. I did not quote Ed on Facebook. But I did post on our Today's Issues page. I posted the articles that Steve has spoken about and the Engage magazine Orange Letter campaign. And basically, essentially everything we've discussed other than Ed's personal stories on our Facebook page.
Okay. Hey, I want to ask you guys about the appointment so far of Donald Trump to his cabinet. I mentioned earlier that it's basically been a very conservative group of people that have been appointed to Trump's cabinet. Now, a cabinet position is – how many cabinet do we know? Walker, look that up. How many cabinet positions there are there in a president's? Okay.
As many as he wants. He gets to name them.
15 executive departments.
And then, but now Congress has to fund them. So,
well, that's true. But some of them, like for example, the president's chief of staff is not a cabinet
that's
position.
That's not a cabinet position.
But it is a cabinet level position. They have to be. Authorized or go through Congress.
Okay,
I believe.
But you have nominated the the Congress has to fund those agencies if the president approves and wants them. I can think of the last probably 10 years, probably 15 years. The Department of Homeland Security is that a cabinet level position?
It is now. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's been added since 9/11.
I usually have a cabinet position that oversees a department that has been created by Congress.
Okay.
So you'll have Secretary of Education who oversees the Department of Education. So,
all right. Well, the latest is Ben Carson, the world-renowned
neurosurgeon, brain surgeon,
who ran for president, and he has accepted the position of Housing and Urban Development Secretary. Mm-hmm. Now, HUD, that is dealing a lot with inner cities across this country, and Donald Trump, one of his promises, if you will, was he was going to improve the life of people in the inner cities of America. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons he appealed to African Americans in his campaign. He said, listen, what do you have to lose? The Democrats have been using and abusing you for 40 years now, and give me a chance to prove that we can do something different which will improve your lives. And so I think this is what Donald Trump wants to do through the leadership of Ben Carson on this. So we'll see how this goes. But I know we all know, most of us listening have known the life of Ben Carson. He's been on our radio programs three times during the years. He became known for his story Ben Carson's story was in the movie called Gifted Hands. Mm-hmm. And you can still find that movie out there on DVD, probably. It's aired on TV, on Hallmark or somewhere a few times. It's called Gifted Hands. And it's about the life of Dr. Ben Carson. He was raised in inner city Baltimore, in a very violent gang, drug infested areas. And his mom, who couldn't read, she was illiterate. She worked two jobs. I hope I'm recalling the story accurately. But she insisted that her sons, Dr. Ben Carson and his brother, learn to read. And so that's what they did. They read books all the time. And so Dr. Carson became very smart. He was probably already genetically very smart, but the reading enhanced his education, right, and his knowledge. And he,
because you can have a high IQ and be illiterate. So you,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he, his natural intellect along with his hard work in the classroom, right, made him
I believe he was born physician. In Detroit, Michigan, in the inner cities of Detroit.
But then he grew up in Baltimore.
Okay.
Look that up.
Okay.
I think I'm right on that one. But anyway, congratulations to Dr. Carson. He, and I know many people are fans of his,
mm-hmm,
and who listen to us, and I think he'll do a wonderful job. He's never had a position in the government before this, so this will be all new to him.
And a lot of conservative Christians voted for him in the primaries.
Yeah.
He was running for president. So he was very popular amongst conservative Christians.
By the way, at onenewsnow.com, if you go, we have a heading. It's called Trump's Cabinet Picks. You can get a picture and a bio of everybody that he's chosen and has yet to be chosen. It's a great page. Good
Where?
Resource. At onenewsnow.com.
What you have here, Donald Trump is assembling a liberal's nightmare team.
I mean,
he really is. Anybody that's going to head up the Department of Defense, and he's called, that is the Pentagon, and his nickname is Mad Dog?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about him. He was named too, right?
Yeah,
Steve?
Mad Dog. He's the Secretary
that's
of
his
Defense.
Obviously.
Yeah, what is... I can't remember his real name, but very popular pick. He was very popular.
What's
with
his name,
troops.
Walker?
Mad Dog Mattis.
Mattis.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's going to be that's his nickname, Mad Dog. He's a Marine, and he's going to be in charge of the Pentagon.
James Mattis is his.
James, thank you.
Name.
I knew. Yeah.
General.
General. A general
retired U.S. Yes. Marine Corps general.
He's got to get a waiver from Congress because he hasn't been retired long enough.
Right.
But
you mean to be over the?
We need men like this if we're going to be fighting people like ISIS.
A lot
ISIS,
of them have left under the Obama administration.
We need men.
Oh, talking about from the military?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Marine Corps general retired in 2013, was serving as the commander of U.S. Central Command. So
that's what Schwarzkopf was in charge of before he retired. General, remember that? Central Command, I think.
CENTCOM.
CENTCOM. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty prestigious job there. We are out of time. Facebook, you can look up our show on Today's Issues, Facebook, and Walker has posted all the stories we've talked about there. So check that out. My thanks to Ed and Steve Jordahl. Thank you, Steve.
Welcome.
Walker and Brent. Brent Creeley running the control board for us over here. We thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Stay tuned for the Bible teaching of Dr. Alistair Begg. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care, everybody.